For always this blessing, this time and opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the life and everything that you are giving to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for all the knowledge that you are providing to us through the Scripture. We ask you, Lord, to be you speaking to the church and not me. So please remove me out of the picture and be you speaking to the church, not me. We're going to share your Scripture. We're going to share your Word. And we ask Holy Spirit to touch the hearts, touch our minds, so that way we can be transformed to the knowledge and to be like Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, so we all continue talking about becoming a disciple. Today we're going to continue talking the same topic of last Sunday, which it was characteristics. Thank you. You guys know. Appreciate the help and support like always. So we're going to continue talking about that topic. It's going to be number two because we like to continue talking about the temperaments and all those things that we are experiencing in our life and how to manage them just for His glory all the time. So today is going to be a good principles that He shared through the Scripture that we like to also share with you guys. So hopefully it's going to be a blessing for you guys. Well, just a recap, we start talking about the mindset of being a disciple and the mindset of being a crowd or a multitude. Also, we talk about agreement, and then we also talking about the temperaments and all those things that is continue helping us to grow. Last weekend, we talked about the fisherman. Then God wants us to be a fisherman. So go out there and make more disciples. The net that we are creating, that we are preparing, we just need to throw it to the specific location that God wants us to throw it. Know what we want. The disciples spent all night throwing the net because it was by their own knowledge, by their own capabilities, and they were not catching any fish. But when Jesus Christ says, throw it to the right location, to the right time, everything was there. And sometimes we have the mentality also of being a hunter. And the hunter is just too aggressive. It's just like waiting for that in the specific point of view of a hunter. When that animal is show up, you're just going to kill that animal. You're going to shoot that animal. So you have to be careful because we have to use the principle of being a fisherman, which is throwing the net at the right moment, right time, and the fish will just get there because God is the one doing it, not you. You're not controlling that. It's Him. So today, we're going to continue talking about this topic, and we are learning more about what is the definitions of being or having the temperaments of choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholic. And we see some things in the Scripture related to this. So there's some verse in the Bible that describe those different personalities in some specific people in the Bible. So in order to do that, I just want to explain some different definitions of them. So, for example, sanguine, which it was last week, and we talked about that, is Peter. We see that in his personality, outgoing, quick to react, and social, but often impulsive and easily distracted. His strength include being good at making friends and finding obedience easier. However, they might struggle with self-control. The second one, choleric, goal-oriented. Decisive and assertive, often taking charge. They can struggle with pride and insensitivity, but when led by the Spirit, can be powerful leaders. Maybe we can see this by Apostle Paul in his letters, in his reactions, in how he behaved according to Scripture. The other one is melancholic, thoughtful, introspective, and sometimes pessimistic. They are reflective and can struggle with procrastination. Their natural introspection often leads them to deeper spiritual intimacy, though they might become scrupulous, like Moses, seem drawn to what needed to be right. All the experiences that we see in Moses is kind of towards to the melancholic personality or behaviors. Phlegmatic, patient, calm, and loyal. They might lack strong emotional reactions, but are dependable. Their tranquility can help them remain steady in challenging situations, though they might avoid confrontation and need encouragement to take action. That's kind of the mentality of that. We can see this in Abigail, the wife of Nabal. In the 1 Samuel 25, you can go later and take a look of what happened and see her reactions, and you can see that phlegmatic kind of temperaments in that. What is the point over here with that? Understanding them, you and I, we can look inside of us and our reactions and say, oh, I think I'm melancholic. I think I'm phlegmatic. I think I'm maybe a little bit of choleric. But it doesn't matter, because God is working in us to be all one body. That's the point. Because it doesn't mean like Christian, you have to be just this specific person, this way. We are all having different temperaments, different mindsets or different stuff. But the beauty of this is how God is blending us together to become one body, which is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of all this. Because in some areas where I'm maybe weak, you are strong. And then we can complement each other and help each other. And maybe when I'm strong, then you're weak, and then we can work each other. That's the beauty of all these things. And that's the beauty that we can see in the whole disciples. We see all 12 disciples, they're all different. All different. And one of them, you guys remember, Judas? He betrayed Jesus Christ. You say, like, wow. You guys know that it's not included in the Bible, but there's a gospel from Judas that he wrote. But it's not included, and you guys know why. Anyway, the point is that according to the story of the apocrypha of Judas, it says that he was the only one understanding the purpose of Jesus Christ. Because he was the only one understanding that, he gave Jesus Christ to the people so that way he can be died and then you and I be saved. If you see it from that point of view. The other ones, they always like, no, I don't want you to go through that. No, don't do that for us. Or no, don't die. I don't want to hear that. Like Peter, you know the story. But the main purpose of Jesus Christ, it was that. He needs to go through that crucifixion, die, raised from the dead, and then you and I, we can be saved. Praise God for that. Otherwise, I don't know where we're going to be without that opportunity or that blessing in our life, right? So continue learning about the scripture of what it's saying, and using the Bible scripture of the main series, which is Matthew 28. Let's go there. Matthew 28, 16. The scripture is talking about the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, pay attention to what it says over here. I don't know if we catch this one before. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What's going on over here? Why he say that now he have authority? Because after that verse, according to scripture, it says, therefore. It kind of sounds like, now that I have authority, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. But wait a second. Before his death, he had authority. Yes or no? Right? Let's go through the scripture. So the scripture, sharing this with the disciples, different temperaments, characteristics. Sorry, I know. And thank you. And then you can see 11 of them, because now Judas is no longer with them, unfortunately, but fortunately for us. Now, he have 11 over there. Some doubted, some worship him. Different temperaments, different type of mindset, different personalities. And now Jesus Christ is here showing himself, saying, I die, but I raised from the death. I defeat the death. So now did that happen, I have authority. What happened before? What happened in your 3 years of ministry? What was that? That was not authority? Let's go through the scripture. Because one of the first point that I want to share with you guys today is the meaning of being a disciple. And hopefully this helps us to understand the meaning of being a disciple. Because again, in order to go there and make disciples, you have to be a disciple. Now that you are a disciple, you understand the meaning of being a disciple. Okay, let me go over there and then make more disciples. The meaning of being a disciple, it can be different. Our mindset is maybe thinking like, that's super Christian. The one that is always Sunday over here. The one that is always giving, tithing, doing everything, spending hours in the sound booth. So that super Christian mentality, sometimes we think, I'm a disciple. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Being a disciple is a person that is receiving a teaching from someone, and it is learning from that and then applying that. Anyone can go to the sound booth. Anyone can be here every Sunday. But where is their hearts and their mind? Are they really learning? Are they really applying what Jesus Christ taught? Thank you. Are we really doing that? Because that's the disciple. And that's the mentality of that we need to learn. When we do that, what is the meaning? Oof. Inside of that meaning is understanding this authority. The scripture, when we go to Matthew 11:27, it says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. Jesus Christ, he's talking. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son okay. 1 Corinthians, let's go there, 15. This is happening before his death. And now see what Paul is writing over here in 1 Corinthians 15:21. We're just learning and understanding what he meant when he say, now I have this authority. The authority in heaven and also on earth. And because I have that authority, I'm sending you. And we're learning, what is the other, what was the manifestation that he had before his death? Because in my understanding, that was authority. Yes, but let's learn something here. 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself. Who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So before the death of Jesus Christ, he was manifesting the authority of his Father. I don't want to talk by myself, sorry. Philippians 2:5-11. In your relationship with one another, Philippians, the letter. Now Paul is writing here and say, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, right? did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Praise God. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before his death, he was manifesting, he was walking by whatever his Father was saying. That was the authority that he was manifesting on the earth during his ministry. The scripture in Hebrews 5:8 says, Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will. This is Jesus Christ talking. But to do the will of him who sent me. He was in the flesh. He was removed from that glory, Jesus Christ. And now he's in this flesh, in this body, and he's walking on the earth doing the will of his Father with his authority. Now, when he finished everything, when he complied with everything, and he died clean, pure, and then he, because doing that, he defeated the death. Now he raised from the death, resurrected. Now I have authority. Now my Father gave me that authority. And now, because I have that authority, I'm sending you. That's why the scripture in Matthew 28 says, I have the authority. I receive it now that I defeat everything. Everything is under my feet. The Father gave me everything because I win everything. I defeat everything. And because of that, then therefore, I will send you to make more disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Son, of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to comply with everything that I command. Because he proved that in the flesh, we can do it. Hallelujah. And that's giving you the authority that you need. That's why Matthew 26:39 also says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, flesh. That was his will, telling him, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that situation. May this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Because he was doing that. He was obedient to be a servant. And now that he finished everything, he has authority. The same thing he's sharing with us. He said, I'm here. I die. I raise. Come on. Be disciple and go and make more disciples. Teach them about me, Jesus Christ, about what I did, that they are also capable to do that. That the enemy doesn't have any part on their life. Anything that happened when they were little kids or when they were growing, no, it's over. I defeat everything. Jesus Christ, praise God. He's amazing. Ephesians 1:20, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come, future. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Hello? If you are the church and you understand this, you know where you are. You know where you are standing as a church. Above. There's nothing. Nothing that it can defeat you when you are with Jesus Christ. When you understand in that authority that you have through him, the scripture says, which is his body, the church, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Praise God. Now, in the process of before the death, we can see the completion of that in the scriptures like John 3:35. The Father loved the Son and has placed everything in his hands, the Father. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. The same. The authority that Jesus Christ was showing in that moment, it was from his Father. And now he has authority. And because of that, that's the meaning of being a disciple. The meaning of your place as a church, my place as a church, so we can go and make more disciples. While he's still speaking, this is John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed that, Father has come. And then Matthew 17:5 says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. The power, the authority that God was giving to Jesus Christ, he was the one manifested during his ministry. And he's teaching us to have in that servant heart with him now that he defeated everything. I want to share with you guys Matthew 15:21. Because I was asking God, I say, well, wait a second. Jesus Christ sent the disciples during his ministry. Matthew 15:21. I was asking God, I say, but wait a second. You sent your disciples during your ministry. What was that happen? What is that about? 15:21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, thank you, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. Why? So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Only. The woman came and kneeled before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread. In other words, the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he's saying. And toss it to the dogs. Ooh, that was tough. Right? A tough comment. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. But she's more clever, right? She's amazing the way that she answered or replied to that. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Poof. Faith. But the point over here, it is that according to the scripture, Jesus Christ is talking that I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. And now when we go to Matthew 10:5, the scripture says over here, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles. or enter any town of the Samaritans. Thank you. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Specific. Don't go to this house. Don't go to these people. Don't go over there. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. That's where he sent the disciples. And maybe we'll struggle with that and say, come on. Yeah, because that was the part of the ministry. That was the part of the authority that God sent him. He was just complying with the authority, the guidance. He was just being servant, obedience to what his father was teaching him or telling him what he needs to do. But what happened? He gave those specific guidelines to just go to these people. But now, did I defeat everything? Did I comply with everything? I have all the authority in the heaven and on earth. Now go to the nations. Hallelujah. And praise God and teach them to the whole people. Because now I have the authority that I defeat everything. And now that authority, I'm giving it to you, giving you meaning as a disciple, and then make other ones as a disciple. That's the meaning. Hallelujah. That's the meaning of being a disciple. Today, I just want to let you know one more thing, and that's it. Hopefully, this is also a blessing. Understanding what is your goal. What is the goal of being a disciple? And for that one, to establish a goal in your life, you need to have a place to go. You need to have a vision. You need to have a purpose. And that's the last point that I want to share with you guys. Purpose. Because the same thing, anyone can come over and then just follow these guidelines, follow this protocol, this structure, this procedure, anything, anyone. But if you don't have a solid purpose, if you don't have a goal in your life, like a vision that I can see over there, that's where I want to go, that's what I want to reach, then you don't have any solid reason, or you will be moved to anything when something happens, or when you go and try to make more disciples, and someone says, nah, I don't like that Jesus that you are offering me. I don't like that God because I have other experiences in the past, or I'm seeing what is happening with those Christians over there or over here. And you are kind of like, oh man, demotivated. This, how I can continue making more disciples? He gave me that commission. I don't know how I can make this happen. When you have a solid purpose, when you have a solid goal, that's not going to move you. You're going to continue. It's like a GPS, right? You have a goal. You're going to a place. The GPS is giving you some different directions. The easiest one, the fastest one, the one that have tolls or not tolls, right? And you are saying, ah, let me go by this one. I don't want to pay tolls, right? Ah, let me go the faster one. You pick the one that is suitable for you. And the GPS will give you the whole information. Turn to the right now. Turn to the red, to the left. And then give you everything. Now the question it is, the GPS, is understanding the purpose of your traveling? You know where you're going. You know the goal. I want to go to that stadium, restaurant, funeral home. The GPS doesn't know what is your purpose. That you want to do fellowship with someone. That you want to maybe watch the team that you root for. Maybe whatever. Any reasons that you have. And when you have that reason, when you have that purpose, solidify yourself and then go. It's not going to move you to any other place. That's why I want to share with you guys Habakkuk chapter 2. Hallelujah. So the story here, it is that in the chapter 1, you will see complaints from the prophet. Why? Because that's the question that we're asking. Why? Why disciple? Why do I need to be a disciple? I just want to just come to church, tithe, offering, go home, sleep, watch the Super Bowl, go tomorrow to work, and that's it. I don't want to be a disciple. Why? Because the purpose. Because the vision. And this guy, this prophet, he was asking God in this moment, in this particular situation, he was asking God, why these things happening to the good people? Why these bad things or circumstances or problems or issues are happening to the good people? Why the bad people or guys are not receiving anything? What's going on over here? Chapter 2. I will stand on my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. I will not delay. Praise God. We can continue, you know, seeing all the answers from God. But I want to share with you guys 14. Verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's the mission. That's the goal. And when you understand that vision and that goal and you put it in your heart and in your mind, nothing will move you. Because that means that all the knowledge of God, which is through Jesus Christ, his manifestation, his salvation, his healing, provision, protection, all that knowledge, it will be manifest and you will see it. It's not on your time. It is in his time. It will not delay for you maybe, because your time is not the same for him. For him, it will not delay. It will be in the specific time that he wants to be manifested and revealed. Write it down. Write it down. Read it. Get it. That's giving you purpose. And because you have that purpose, nothing will move you. To be steady as a disciple. And now that we know that we understand that, we can go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was reading a book about the power of vision. And I'm keep learning about stuff that is continue helping me to grow in everything, just not just here, but also as a person, as a husband, as a son, as a manager or my work. And I believe that's helping you as a person, which is really important. Once again, going back to the beginning, temperaments, we're all different. We all have different mindset, different choleric, maybe phlegmatic or whatever. But when we understand those principles, man, it's like a bomb inside here that no one can move us. And that's what God wants us to understand and learn, that with him, nothing will move us. It will just make a solidification in us that it's going to be a bond that no one can break or separate. That way we can go and make more disciples. And the comment that I was reading, it is, do you have sight or do you have vision? Because most of the time we just go by our sight, what we are seeing physically. But I'm not seeing the goal that God showed me, the knowledge that he will put in the whole earth. I'm not seeing it. Yeah, because you're seeing it with your sight. Continue seeing the vision. Don't let nothing move that vision, that goal out of your life. Change the perspective of establishing a vision in your heart, in your mind, and not just the sight or looking what you're seeing physically. Continue believing. And if it's not going by what you want or by the will that you want in your life, remember what Jesus Christ says. If it's possible, take this cup. But not me. I don't want to do my will. I want to do yours. And if yours is the one that maybe I don't want, yours is more important and bigger and prioritized than me. So I'm just going to follow yours because I love you. That will be sufficient. That will give you everything that you need. It's really interesting the way that the people put that topic in that verse of Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And when we learn through the earth definition, commission, as a sale guy, what is that? Right? It's getting a percentage of what you are selling. Same thing. And I found some definition that says, a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties, an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people, a group of people officially charged with a particular function. We have that particular function or activity that we need to make it happen, that he left to us. Go and make disciples. On the earth, you will gain something, 3% of the sales, example. But for us, eternal life. For us, kingdom of heaven. For us, wow, incomparable price that on the earth you cannot measure. Hallelujah to that. Yesterday when we were in the men's breakfast, we were sharing about the stewardship, the manager. And the Bible says that in the small things that he was being faithful or trustfully, God put him in the much because he was faithful in the small things. That's the commission. He gave you something. You have it. Be faithful and trustworthy in that small things so he can put you in the much. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this blessing and time. Thank you for this word. We worship you, we praise you, we declare your name in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the people that they couldn't make it here today. We send blessing over them. And we declare that you are providing what we need. Please continue teaching us to be more like Jesus and to be more to that level, understanding the authority that you get to Jesus Christ. And now that authority, we have it because it is in the name of Jesus Christ. So we worship you, we praise you, and we declare also, God, that you will continue blessing the church, continue empower them to be fulfilled by the Holy Spirit so we can go and make more disciples. By your glory, it's for you, not for anyone else. So we love you and we praise you and we declare all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.